Blog Talk Radio.
Richmond's biggest weekend event returns to RIR September 10th through 12th. Three nights of racing culminate Saturday under the lights with the Federated Auto Parts 400. It's the last race to make the chase, and when the smoke clears, you're invited to make your way onto the track. Celebrate with the 16 drivers vying for the chance to win the NASCAR Sprint Cup. It all happens during the second annual RIR post-race party. It's NASCAR at RIR. You've got to see it.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey, this is Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain.
Good evening from Talladega, Alabama. You're in the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson. I'm your host, Tenda Spain, alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Let's bring our Reverend in, Mr. Reverend Joe from out there in Riverside, California, and get everything going. Excuse me. Come on into the Pit Stop, Reverend. How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, Reverend.
How's your weather?
It was a little bit cooler, but now we're starting to dip again. But I think we might have went above 90 today. I know James Spann and, you know, Megan's coming out here in a little bit. I think we went like maybe 16 days without hitting 90. And that's pretty good for August in Alabama.
That's for sure. Yeah, we just finally came down from over 110 degrees every day down to 97. So it's cooling off, but it's all good. So shall we get this party started?
Yes, sir. Crank it up, Reverend Joe.
All right. Lord, we come before you today, and we still have heavy hearts over the loss of Jason Wilson. And we've had other friends. Our good friend Owen lost his wife this week. Please, Lord, be with all those that are hurting. Be with all those in the racing community who have suffered different ailments and different things in the last couple of months. Please be with all of them. Bless everyone that's racing this week. Keep everyone protected and covered. And we thank you so much, Lord, for our soldiers, for their families. Ask you to watch over all of them. And we also thank you the most for your son, Jesus Christ. He came and died for our sins so that we would have a free way into heaven. We thank you for all that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. Reverend Joe, I say it every week, and I'm going to continue to say it. Great invocation, my friend. You do awesome, and thank you very much for being a part of the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. You want to throw out there where everybody can follow you on social media, buddy, and your website?
Yes, sir. And by the way, I'm honored to do it. We love your show and honored to be here. The fans can catch me, first of all, every day I post some scripture in the morning and some scripture in the evening, and it's on your page also. And we do that so that people can get a little bit of their Bible and follow through it every day, and it makes it easy. And they can always call me at 951-232-7630 if they have questions or any other concerns or need prayer. You can also get me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And my website is ontrackwithjesus.org. I'm sorry, lost my brain there for a second. Anyway, they can always contact us through there. Getting ready for another, this weekend's going to be quiet. In a couple weeks, we'll be heading off to Vegas for the truck race, so things are starting to heat up again.
Yeah, I understand, Reverend, and I've got to get that, what I got for you mailed to you. I will get that done. But as Suzanne would say, say a prayer for her and I. We're going to trek out Friday morning. We're going to leave here about 9 o'clock heading toward Darlington to meet up with Stephen and Anne-Marie up there. So say a prayer for us that we make it there safe, bud. We appreciate it.
We'll pray for you all weekend. And she's got a little bit of sniffle, so praying that will all go away. So have a great trip, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, Reverend Joe. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right. Take care.
All right, bud. That's a good friend, Reverend Joe, out there on the West Coast. At this time, we want to bring in meteorologist from ABC 3340. I nicknamed her Mother Nature, Miss Megan Thomas. Megan, how you doing tonight? Mother Nature.
I am good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. You probably heard some of Reverend Joe's comments there. He was talking, he was asking about the weather, and I told him I can't remember, Megan. I think James said we were, what, 16 or 17 days? We didn't hit 90 degrees here in Alabama in August. That's awesome.
You are correct.
And Megan, Suzanne and I, you probably heard, we're making a trek up to Darlington this weekend for the annual Bojangles 500. Yep, we're gonna leave out Friday morning. Thank God we got a house sitter to take care of our kids, which our kids are two cats. But if you don't mind, you want to go ahead and we'll let you give the forecast for Darlington, South Carolina, and then we'll let you talk a little bit about what everybody around Central Alabama has to expect here on Labor Day weekend.
All right. Okay. So if you are headed out Friday and you get there Friday night, you'll be under a mostly cloudy sky, and it'll be about 70 degrees. And then Saturday, there's a small chance for showers, about 40%, but we all know what that means. Very hit or miss, not going to rain everywhere. It'll be near 86 degrees, partly sunny. Saturday night, around 69. And then on Sunday is the race day, I believe. It'll be partly sunny, high near 85. No rain expected that day, so that's important. And if you're sticking around for the Labor Day holiday, just expect about a 30% chance of rain, so very scattered. Not everyone's going to see showers, and temperatures will be in the mid-80s. So not a terrible weekend to go there.
That's awesome. So when me and Suzanne come back to Alabama Monday, we should come back rain-free, correct?
Well, y'all will see a few showers. And in Alabama, as we head into the Labor Day holiday, it looks like there's about a 30 to 40% chance of rain right now. But, you know, that is a little bit less than a week away, and things change pretty quickly in the weather world.
Yes, ma'am. I know, just like James Spann said, and I know you know it too. You can't predict, but so far out, correct, Megan?
Yeah, three days is about what we can kind of really tell you an answer, and then after that it gets kind of fuzzy and things start to, the models change way too quickly. So we'll keep an eye out for you. And of course I will update it on my Facebook page and my Twitter and everything like that.
Okay, awesome. I just like, you know, my good friends at Thunder 927 here, Rufus T and Grady, they always say, let me try to say this without being, us bigger people like cooler weather.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Megan. I know your time is limited. We're going to get started with the show, but thank you very much again for taking time out to come on and give everybody the weather forecast for up there at Darlington for the, I think it's the 66th annual Bojangles 500 there. And if you want to throw out there where everybody can follow you in on social media, Megan, you got the floor.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Facebook at Meteorologist Megan Thomas. And then also you can follow me on Twitter at MegTom_WX. And we also have a new fun little app that I use. It's called Periscope, and it's live broadcast. We do it every Saturday and Sunday behind the scenes of the station. And it's MegTom_WX. You can find me on Periscope there as well.
Sounds good. And Megan, if you want to look me up on Periscope, Suzanne said she don't do it. Stephen Wilson don't do it. But I've done a few. But this weekend at Darlington, I'm probably gonna blow the Periscope up.
Oh, yeah,
if you want to check.
Absolutely.
I would
love to.
All right.
I'll get in and call
okay,
you.
Okay, follow me in. Yes, ma'am. And Megan, thanks again. Tell James to take care of Charles.
I will.
All right. Take care, Megan. We'll talk at you next week, Mother Nature.
Absolutely. Y'all have a safe trip.
All right. Thank you, Megan. See you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was ABC 3340 Meteorologist Megan Thomas with the weather forecast for the 66th final of the Bojangles 500 at Too Tough to Tame Darlington Raceway. Let's bring on my sidekick, my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how's everything up there in Virginia tonight, bud?
It's doing pretty good up here. I'm liking that weather forecast that we got at Darlington this weekend. I was hoping that it was going to be just a tad bit hotter down there because I want to see that track be a little bit slicker than that, but it sounds like with about 85-degree weather, that track's going to be a little bit hot and a little bit slick down there, and they're going to need that 12 sets of tires that Goodyear's going to give them down there.
Yeah, and just like me and you were texting back this morning, they probably going to want more, ain't they, bud?
Yeah, man. Yeah, somebody's going to get up in there and slam that wall out there and get a few Darlington stripes out there before the weekend is over with. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Stephen, we'll go ahead and get everything started. I hadn't let everybody know. Our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern Time, we've got Mr. Lenny Baticki, Communications Director at Charlotte Motor Speedway. We got him coming on at the bottom of the hour, and we've got some breaking news out of NASCAR. I'm pretty sure you've seen, but I'll go ahead and get started with the Xfinity series. The Xfinity was it was the 6th annual Road American 180 fired up at Johnsonville, and Paul Menard won the 6th annual Road American 180 fired up by Johnsonville, his third victory in 197 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his first victory and fifth top 10 finish in 2015. This is his first victory and first top 10 finish in two races at Road America. Ryan Blaney finished second, posted his first top 10 finish in one race at Road America. It is his seventh top 10 finish in 2015. Brian Scott finished third, posted his second top 10 finish in six races at Road America. Darrell Wallace Jr. finished fifth, was the highest finishing rookie. Chris Buescher leads the points by 16 points over Chase Elliott. And just, you know, I can go into points in here and talk about that. But just talk a little bit about, Stephen, if you want to touch on this. They were talking about the restart. And, Ryan Blaney was right there with him. And, you know, Ryan, you know, they asked him in the media center, you know, would you have moved him or if you had the chance? He said, I don't race like that. Can you touch a little bit on that, Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan brought up a good point. We saw that a couple of weeks ago with Regan Smith out there where the same thing happened with Alex Sagliani and Regan Smith. And, you know, Regan was really hungry for that race win out there. But, you know, Ryan ran a good race out there, a good clean race, and respectable out there for him saying that he wasn't going to move him out the way to, you know, go out there and try and win that race. I'm sure that gave him a few points out there with some of the other drivers out there, respectability points, because he's got a long career in front of him. And you know, drivers, he's going to face some of these drivers again in the future, and maybe some driver will see that and think about that and maybe let him, you know, go for a win or go for a pass or whatever it may be down the road, and, you know, not try and, you know,
you know, try and put him and pass him in a similar manner. So, you know, it's just, you know, Ryan Blaney going out there and doing the driver thing and, you know, being the respectful driver out there. But, you know, there was really no sense in, you know, trying to crash or wreck Paul Menard out there for a race win. It was just respectful on his part and letting him go out there and do his thing. And you have to give him a lot of kudos for doing what he did.
Yeah, exactly what you said, Devin. You got to give him kudos. A young man like that coming up through the sports, a lot of veterans will respect him for what he said. Let's see what Paul Menard and crew chief Danny Stockman had to say in the media center after the Xfinity Series race here at Road America.
We will continue with our post-race press conference for today's Road America 180, fired up by Johnsonville. And we've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 33 Menard Chevrolet, Paul Menard. We've also been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Danny Stockman. And Paul, we'll start with you. You mentioned yesterday during your media availability that you've been able to win at Indy, you've won at Milwaukee, but you really wanted to win at Road America. And now you can officially say you've won at all three of those. Just talk a little bit about the emotion of winning in front of the hometown crowd.
Yeah, I mean, this is a track that I spent a lot of the time at as a kid, just riding around the track on ATVs, finding these little trails with my cousin and brothers, and actually I had my cousin spotting for me in turn seven, so that was cool. Yeah, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, and Road America are the three tracks that are really close to home for me, so I've been able to win at all three, so I'm pretty lucky guy as far as that goes. And you know, it's a hell of a way to spend an off weekend, spending the week in Wisconsin and driving over with my family on Thursday, and get to share some of the moments that I had as a kid riding around this track with my daughter Thursday night and Friday night, so that's pretty special.
And Danny, for you, from a crew chief standpoint, a road course can add a little bit of stress. From a strategy standpoint, talk a little bit about the team's approach today and really kind of the final stretch there, you know, when you guys were in a position to take over the lead and go for the win.
Right. You know, these road races, like you said, are definitely hard to win. A lot of strategy goes into it. And, you know, we didn't have the best car. We had a, you know, fourth, fifth place car, I felt like. And at that point, we had this on our calendar that we wanted to win. And you got to take risk, and you got to stick to it. And the caution come out at lap 23 or 24. We pitted, and we saved fuel right from the start. And if you're going to win these things on fuel mileage, you got to do it that way. You can't wait. And Paul did an excellent job. We had another lap of fuel left in the car, and it's just really special for me to be able to do this as a team for Paul and his family, because they've done so much for the sport, and just awesome feeling.
Well, we can confirm that whoever was in the suite next door here were Paul Menard fans, because when you took over the lead, they were extremely excited. And then second of all, the trophy, a neat fact is the trophy, the gentleman who made the trophy was in here earlier and said that all the supplies to make the trophy were purchased at Menard. So even better that you're sitting here now.
Maple oak and mahogany, I believe.
So we'll go ahead and take questions now for Paul or Danny. If you have one, just please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation. Anyone want to start us off? We'll go with Dave.
I mean, it is what it is. You try to do what you can, and you know, when after we pitted, I ran hard for a couple laps, and then just started saving, because we knew everybody in front of us had to pit, so we didn't have to pass them. We knew who pitted behind us and who we had to stay in front of, and then some of those guys chose to duck in for just a top off. So at that point, we really just kind of kept the gap to I think it was a sixth car. Somebody was like 18 seconds behind us, so we just had to kind of maintain there. So I was saving a ton under green. Then obviously we had the caution, and then, you know, two laps of caution turned into what felt like eight laps of caution. And I felt like we were pretty good from the amount that I saved under green, and then those caution laps obviously were helping. But then some of the guys that we thought were probably better on fuel than us, like the eight car, and I think it was a zero, the old one or somebody, and they'll want to run out of fuel. So then I got a little nervous, but I just saved as much as I could and try to keep fuel in the pickup when the flight dropped.
Stephen, do you have any comments on what Paul Menard and Danny Stockman talked about there in the media center at Road America?
Yeah, I mean, they made an interesting comment out there where they were saving fuel out there. You know, Road America is a 4-plus-mile track out there, and that seemed kind of strange that right from the beginning of the race that they were saving fuel, granted that it's a fairly short race that they were going to run that day and very limited pit stops that were going to take place. But you wouldn't think of a place with a 4-mile track that you're going to have to, you know, go out there and save fuel at and try and risk it at the end. But, you know, they seemed to be able to, that was their strategy throughout the day, and it worked out well for them, and they didn't have to pit like everybody else at the end, and worked out well, got the win.
Yeah, and as you know, Stephen, just like I do, Paul Menard is not running for points in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He's out there to win a race. He had nothing to lose, but like you said, it's a 4-mile track. If he run out, he was not going to make it. You know, depending on where he run out, he was not going to make it back to pit road. But Stephen, if you want to go ahead with a NASCAR Camping World Trucks, you got the floor, and then right after that, I'm sure you and I have some breaking news coming out of NASCAR about an hour and a half ago.
Camping World Truck Series went across the border into Canada this weekend, running up there at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park with the third annual Chevrolet Silverado 250. Alex Tagliani took the pole out there this weekend, ran a good race out there from the pole for the first half of the race. Unfortunately, his teammate Tyler Reddick, who was in the points lead going into that event, early on into the had some issues out there that he eventually ended the day several laps down, which knocked him out of the points lead. He is now third in points and 15 points behind Eric Jones and Matt Crafton. He'd been leading pretty much the entire season up until this point, running into trouble up there. So it's kind of unfortunate for him that he this late in the season, he's going to have a little bit of a deficit to try and come back against two strong teams with Eric Jones and Matt Crafton in front of him. But he's not too far out where he's not going to be able to make that up. Eric Jones, the eventual winner out there, his second victory in 2015, his first victory up there at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Matt Crafton finishing second up there. His 13th top 10 finish in 2015, and Ben Kennedy finishing third. He posted his first top 10 finish in two races there. There in Canada, this is Eric Jones. Eric Jones was highest finishing rookie, and like I said, Eric Jones was able to take over the points lead this weekend. Matt Crafton moved up to second. Matt Crafton stayed in second in points, but Eric Jones leads by 3 at this point. Tyler Reddick moved down to third by virtue of his early on troubles by 15 back down.
Yeah. Ms. Beaver, let's see what Eric Jones and crew chief Rudy Fugel had to say in the media center there at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park.
We are now joined by our race winner, Eric Jones, driver of the number 4 Toyota, and crew chief Rudy Fugel. Eric, if you can walk us through the race and talk about visiting Victory Lane here in Canada.
Well, just a fun day overall, and you know, it was fun to come up here and race on this road course and be able to have success, and it's a cool thing for KBM that we're able to build this road course truck last year and bring it up here now this year and be able to take it to Victory Lane. So we had a good truck last year, and we were able to just improve on our Tundra and get it to where it needed to be for this year. And I was able to improve on myself and fix some of my my mistakes from the previous year as well and get a little bit better. So just a cool day. Pretty happy that you know, we get a win here, and it hopefully gives us some momentum for the rest of the season.
And Rudy, tell us a little bit about the race strategy here today.
Yeah, it was sort of a conservative strategy with the points battle we're in. You know, safe and good for tires and good for fuel, and making sure we were fine there. And then we just had all the speed all weekend that we needed to. We were you know, right there with the 29, and depending on how things worked out, I knew we'd have a shot, and the double zero was faster today than I thought he was going to be, so we had to deal with him, but it all worked out, and it's a great win up here.
Questions, Norris.
Eric, this is only your second road course start. Did this come natural to you, or did you go to a driving school, or did you get some coaching? Just how did you get so good so fast?
I did go to a school actually last year. Before I came here, I went to the Ron Fellows School, and then this year I went to the Bondurant School with Chris Cook as well. So a couple different, you know, mentalities between the two schools, and just kind of merged together what I could pick up. And you know, I saw it as if, hey, if I can get a 10th each time I go to those schools, it's worth it. And I feel like I did. So just kind of put all that together and came here for the first year and downloaded everything and tried to get a little bit better for this year and figure out where, you know, where I needed to be better and where I needed to improve, and just kind of figured it out as we went, I guess, and, you know, it's just fun. I just always enjoyed it from the start. You know, it wasn't something that I went out and did, and I was like, oh, man, I don't like this at all. So it's just something that always was fun to me, and I wanted to get good at. Well, I think it does in a big way. Obviously, unfortunately, we don't come back here. I wish we did. This is such a good track for these cars. But, you know, we'll be going to some different style road courses there, and I think this is definitely a big help. And just getting that confidence built up for those and knowing that when we go there that I'll be able to hopefully find the speed at all those places and be competitive. But definitely a learning experience the last 2 years and this year as well. And trying to figure out more and more about this style of racing. There's so many little nitpick things that you can be better with, and even watching Tagliani, you know, behind us chasing us down, I could see things that he was doing where he was better, and trying to figure out some of the things that he was doing to be a little bit faster.
Was it fun?
That was a blast. It's a blast. It was nerve-wracking. It's a little intense when you got a guy like that, you know, running you down for 15 laps, but it's also at the same time it's really cool to, you know, sit back and think about that, and that's what racing is supposed to be.
Go ahead.
Eric, this year, you turn left on pavement, you're on the dirt in Eldora, now you've been on the road course here. It must have been a really interesting year for you as far as racing on all these different courses.
Yeah, it is. It's a unique schedule in the sense that we do go to, you know, ovals predominantly, road course, and then a dirt track as well. So definitely the most diverse of all three of the NASCAR series, and it's pretty cool, really, that we did get to do some of that stuff. And you know, I wish we could do more road courses, honestly, in the truck series. It'd be nice, but just fun to get to go to all those different style of tracks and learn them as you go and figure out and things that, you know, aren't natural to you as a driver and try to figure out how to be fast on.
Final question right here.
And Stephen, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour here. We probably have our guest. I think I see a number popped up there. Suzanne is probably talking to him now, Lenny Baticki. But you want to go ahead and throw out the breaking news out of the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. I know Christy King broke it a little while ago. If you want to talk about that, you got the floor, bud.
Yeah, earlier today, over the weekend, Jennifer Jo Cobb was involved in an incident on the track during Friday practice up there in Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, where her truck was wrecked during practice and during the right after the wreck, when the on-track crew did get to her truck, she was seen reaching back into her truck and pulling out a cell phone out there. NASCAR has fined her $7,500 for having electronics inside of her truck, as well as an additional $2,500 for a reoccurring event due to being on probation. This is NASCAR did in 2012 ban all uses of external electronic items inside of any race cars or race trucks after Brad Keselowski, the photos went around of him being inside the race car there at Daytona, and the wreck that involved with him sitting on the backstretch during the long red flag during the incident with Juan Pablo Montoya. A week later, with them being at Phoenix, NASCAR did eventually just ban all of those devices from the vehicles, and she's been fined for that.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen, that was I know you're not supposed to have cell phones in the race cars, but I mean, from Brad Keselowski's standpoint, there, I mean, there were so many views that come out of there with him filming all that there. Daytona, but if I can, Stephen, I've got the NASCAR rule book brought up here, and I'll read it right fast. It's section 20.18.13.B, additional non-engine electrical components. I'll read it real fast before we bring it in. It is the responsibility of the crew chief to ensure that all the NASCAR assigned electronic equipment is returned to the designated return locations at the completion of an event. Unless otherwise authorized, vehicles and drivers will not be permitted to carry onboard computers, automated electronic recording devices, devices, you know, I'm on redneck from Talladega, microprocessors, recording devices, filming devices, digital, blah, 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 etc. The use of filming and recording devices by a computer will be limited to internal review of pit stops only and not for promotion, resale, or other commercial exploits, blah, blah, blah. Theme on our recording. I mean, you know, they've got the rule there. And just like, you know, Suzanne commented after that we seen J.J. Cobb get out of the truck with the cell phone, why didn't she just leave it laying in the truck? Or was she not thinking?
Yeah, that one baffles me on why they didn't just leave it in the truck and then go and get it later on. Maybe just spur of the moment, didn't think about it and think that you weren't on camera, but there's cameras everywhere, unfortunately, and she just happened to be caught by it. And, well, she's now been fined $10,000, and she'll have to pay up.
Yeah, and with that being a lower-tier race team, you know, you gotta scratch your head and see where the money's going to come from. But, Stephen, we got our guest, Director of Communications at Charlotte Motor Speedway, Mr. Lenny Badiga. Let's bring Lenny in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Will.
Let's get her!
Lenny, how you doing tonight, bud? Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule up there in Charlotte. Come on the show. How's everything going?
It's a pleasure. You know, you said director of communications. Some days it's miscommunications. We just try to, you know, get down the road each day and have a good time doing it. Charlotte Motor Speedway, of course, we're ramping up. We're about a month away from our big NASCAR race, the night race and the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship, our Bank of America 500. Doing a lot to promote Jeff Gordon's final time at the track. He got his first race on, and you know, it's a good time to be in the racing business, whether it's the short tracks, the dirt tracks, you know, wherever you're at. Championships are on the line, drivers are pushing the limit, and it's always fun to get out on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever they'll open the gates at a track, to get out there and see good racing.
Exactly, Lenny. And we all here at the Pit Stop and SpeedwayDigest.com, we appreciate what you do for the sport, what Charlotte Motor Speedway, what everybody does. And, Lenny, I'll hand you over to Stephen, and I'm gonna take a little break for a second, and I'll be right back.
Not a problem. Good to chat with you, Tim. And, hey, Stephen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. So you just touched on a few things that you guys were doing up there in Charlotte, and last year for Jeff Gordon, and a lot of tracks doing a lot of different things. I caught what you guys have got going on out there for Jeff Gordon's final time out there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He's got a few wins out there. Talk a little bit about what you got special going for him. I know SMI has done a few things for him over the last couple races that they've been at your guys' track, but talk a little bit about being right there at home at SMI's premier track.
Well, Stephen, we really try to put the fans first when they come here, and constantly trying to figure out things that we can do to interact with the fans, whether it's that the big screen that, you know, we put up a few years back, and the way we try to get time when they're at races at Charlotte Motor Speedway, or this time when we've built a website. You know, there's only a few dozen people at our place that, you know, would get on the web and do anything, but we want to open it up to all the fans, jeffslastride.com. And have their videos tributes to Jeff. So many fans don't get a chance to share their Jeff Gordon memory, and we're all sharing them. I can look back at when I first met Jeff at South Boston Speedway when he was running in a Ford for Bill Davis, and nobody had, you know, even heard of him. And, you know, that's kind of my Jeff Gordon memory, when I saw him first and when I got to know him a little bit better and such. But, you know, there are fans that may have never even met him, but to have a memory, maybe have a postcard of his from back in the early days they'd love to share. Maybe have seen a show car and got a picture of them with a show car. All we're asking fans to do is post those on their Facebooks, their Twitters, their Instagrams, wherever, or even email them to us at the Speedway, and we'll put them up on this website and be the biggest fan-based tribute to Jeff Gordon that there is. It's on the World Wide Web, and we paid for it to be there. Now we're just asking fans to, you know, fill it up. Make it yours. Put whatever you want. If you want to get the grandbabies on there and get everybody in the picture and do a video about how much your family loved to watch him at Charlotte and at other racetracks around the country, or you've got a picture of when you were young and you were there the first time you ever stood next to a 24 show car, or whatever. It's all there. This is our way of building a community to say, hey, it's Jeff's last ride, but it's our tribute to him. And if folks will go to jeffslastride.com or go to their own Facebook or Twitter and hashtag Jeff's Last Ride, we'll gather those up. We've been doing it, you know, every day for the last week or so. We're going to do it all the way through October. And we've got, yeah, we got celebrities. We got Ray Evernham, Dale Jarrett, a bunch of them coming in the next couple of weeks and such that'll be on that we've already recorded and that we're kind of holding back. But, you know, let's get the fans up there too. Let's make this everybody in racing saluting the guy that built a lot of the extension that this sport is. Of course, you know, sport goes back to, you know, the 40s and 50s, and even before then, before NASCAR was there. Those guys built it and got it to where it was. And then Jeff opened up Saturday Night Live and so many of the other things. Hey, he's the modern era. Let's give him a send-off, and that's what jeffslastride.com is.
Yeah, you brought up a good point right there, Lenny. A lot of people don't realize that when Jeff started his career out there with Bill Davis, he was running a Ford long before he ever got in that 24 Chevrolet. And it's strange that you go and look back at some of those pictures of him running into it, and people look at him and it's like, yeah, I'm not even sure who this guy is right here running that Baby Ruth car out there. It's really weird to see those kinds of things from Jeff Gordon way back in the day. But, yeah, he's kind of branched over in so many different generations that we've brought into the new era of NASCAR from the late 80s and 90s and even into the 2000s and the 2015 era that he's brought so many people over. And that's just an awesome tribute that you guys got going on. But, you know, you're talking about that you're getting into the final stretch here, what you guys got going on down there. We're getting ready to get into the chase. You guys are going to host one of the chase races out there. We're getting ready to cut this thing off, and we're going to put 16 drivers into the chase out there. You know, we've got Darlington this week, got Richmond the week following that. We're going to cut them all off. What are your predictions that you think we're going to get out there? We know Jeff, he's kind of sitting right there on that bubble right now. He hasn't had the most stellar season as of yet. Where do you think he's going to fall in line, and what's your predictions at this point?
I think Jeff and that Hendrick team are capable of getting themselves safe enough in a position to be able to, you know, make it into the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series chase for the championship and be with us at Charlotte on October 10th. In a position to be running in the contender round for the chase. But the guy that, you know, the dirt tracker and me, we host PRN's At the Track, which is a show about the short track, dirt tracks. And we get to see Stevie Francis and Don O'Neill a couple of times a year and, you know, feel the love of slinging the dirt. And when we see Clint Bowyer right there on teetering on the edge, you know, he's such a good fella and supports, you know, all the way down to the grassroots that, you know, there's a soft spot for Bowyer, and we'd love to see him and his 5-hour energy Toyota slide in there and grab one of those spots at the end of the day. And, you know, he's just good people, and it's fun to watch him do what he does. So I'd be rooting for Bowyer and Gordon to slide in there, close this thing out, and get locked in to come see us at Charlotte in October.
Well, Charlotte is one of those tracks down there that you guys have a little bit of everything. You got the super speedway out there. You've got the dirt track, and you got the drag strip out there. So you guys stay busy with, what is it, something like 100 events a year, everything from the auto fair to drag racing four wides to the Dirt Nationals and anything you can think of. You know, what is it out there that you guys just don't have yet that you'd like to bring in? And what is something out there that if you had to pick something out there that you would want a fan to come to and say, this is an event to bring everybody out to even introduce them to the sport, what's one event out there that you guys think that would be kind of that introduction to bringing the fan and maybe bringing them over into the super speedway or to the drag racing or whatever it may be out there?
Well, I kind of think each event has its own flavor, and depending on who I would be speaking to, if it was a fan of the pure speed and maybe somebody that got a little antsy sitting in the seat and wanted to kind of be in the pits, things like that. I love what drag racing does. We're over at ZMAX Dragway for the Carolina Nationals coming up the 18th through the 20th. Every ticket is a pit pass. It's a countdown race. You get to go right up to the ropes, so to speak, right where the drivers and crews are working on their 10,000 horsepower nitro-powered machines. You get to be there and experience it. It's a great social event, and 300-plus miles an hour and explosions and all the cool stuff that drag racing can be. That's a really fun event. Then, you know, the dirt track, it don't get no better than the World Finals. Those 3 days are not only a race, they're a party, they're a festival of speed. We get the boys from up north coming down with the big block modifieds. We get Bloomquist and Owens and Clanton and everybody else battling in the late models. Then we get Shots and Stewart and, you know, all those cats in the winged World of Outlaws sprint cars. That's a really cool deal. And then, of course, over at Charlotte, we call ourselves the greatest place to see the race, and we try to earn that title every day, whether it's concerts from ZZ Top this year or Hunter Hayes coming up in October, to, you know, the Willendas walking on wires across our racetrack, to the competition, to the lights, to the all-star race. It's just a little bit of everything, and however much or however little somebody wants, we try to figure out how we can do this. Now, I tell you, Kevin Thomas, who wears that Alabama hat out in the midgets, be nice to see him come race with us someday, and maybe in the World of Outlaws we'll get to see him do what he does, powered machine out there in the Midwest, and we'd be proud to have that boy come race with us sometime.
Well, SMI and especially Charlotte Motor Speedway over the years, they've always been known for one of the things that a lot of other tracks have always tried to copy you guys on, and that's always your friendliness, not only from your ticket prices, but from your concessions and everything that you do for the fans week in and week out, not only just on race week, but outside of your race weeks. What do you guys do to continue improving yourselves and not only to just generate fan interest, but to generate new fans and try and bring them into the speedways or bring them into the motorsports community and just bring them out there to come and see your race?
Well, you got to look at the top. You know, Marcus Smith, our president and CEO, is a second generation race promoter. So his dad had to, you know, grit it out and earn it out back in the day with Bill France Sr. and, you know, just building this sport back in the 40s, 50s, 60s and on up to this modern era. And Marcus is really a guy that's taken to social media. He's out. He's about. He hangs out with the drivers. He's with the fans. He really enjoys this experience. You know, when he was a young guy, his dad made him paint the walls and, you know, fix pipes and fix anything around the racetrack and really learn the business from there. He's doing the same to his teenage son, Graham, who will someday, you know, be a part of our organization maybe. And just it's a family atmosphere that listens to the fans. And we have the greatest ticket sellers that I think that are out there. They're not just there to take an order and go, okay, we'll put you in this seat, goodbye. You know, they'll sit there and chat with you. They want to know what experience you want. Because we've got so much that's different because of the race teams that are based here. We can help folks go on a race team experience, go to the Hall of Fame. The NASCAR Hall of Fame is right here in Charlotte as well. Can see a drag racing shop. They can see a World of Outlaws shop. Anything that the fan wants, our ticket agents, they're the best at it because they love it like the fans love it. And that generates from the top right on through the people that do what we do. We are the same people that would sit in the grandstands if we weren't working, and we peek over and we watch the race with the same excitement as the fans do, because that at the end of the day is what we are. And I think that's what keeps us up, because after an event, we'll sit there and go, you know, we should have done this. We should have done that. And that doesn't matter whether it's the
vice president of this or that, or down to the maintenance guy. We want to improve it because it's just cool to us, and that's what we want everybody else to experience when they come to Charlotte Motor Speedway, Z-Max Dragway, or the dirt track.
And Lenny, I know Tim's probably sitting over there in the corner and listening to our conversation. I want to include him on it too, so I'm going to let him ask a few questions to get in on this conversation too. I hate for him to just sit in the corner all night long too.
Hey, I got to give a shout out to Mrs. Jordan there. Constance Jordan's mom's listening in, and you know, Constance has been an intern, and she's going to help us with even more stuff out there. She's been over at the Talladega Short Track, kind of grew up there. And we're just glad to have, you know, another fresh, young voice that knows the business from the ground up. It's going to come in. And, yeah, you know, it may not all be perfect every time she tries to do something because you got to get experience to have that new voice, that new set of eyes that Constance Jordan from right there in your area is going to bring to us. Just adds to that mix of people that love the sport at Charlotte Motor Speedway and why we welcome fans that are listening to just come hang out with us. Even if we're not racing on a weekend, if you're passing through Charlotte, we take people on tours, we take people through. We just love seeing the family of the racing community when they can come by and visit with us anytime.
And, Lenny, I want to thank you very much. That Constance, she is a real class act. I got a funny story to tell you. Every time we go to the media center here at Dega, Constance's mother said, Tim, you keep an eye on her. I said, she'll be fine. She's fine. I mean, she handles herself well with the media. She took care of us. And she'd say, Tim, send me pictures. Well, every time, you know, I'd be in the news and I'd run over. I said, hey, Constance. And I'd snap a picture. She said, Tim, don't send that to my mom.
Well, you'll have to text me Mama's phone number, and I'll keep an eye on her now while she's here with us at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And she's getting out of line. I'll let Mom know quicker than a drag racer can get down our quarter mile.
All right. Thanks, Lenny. Yeah, I just had to throw that out there. But, yeah, Lenny, just to talk a little bit about Suzanne and I, we had the privilege to meet Bruton, two or three times over the past years back in the day, and we're good friends with Hawk. And, you know, Hawk always told me, he said, Tim, if you ever need anything, here's my email, here's my card, here's my number, call me. I mean, you know. The NASCAR community, as far as the owners, your PR people, people like you, as far as the media, everybody has just sort of, you know, whatever you need, ask. And we appreciate that from Hawk and Bruton and SMI. Lenny, we really do.
Well, we can't do it without the fans. The fan first mantra is something that, you know, everybody here, it's a natural. We don't, we don't have to fake doing it, because before we were ever, you know, fortunate and blessed enough to, you know, fall into this by one way or the other, you know, we were on the outside cheering and looking in. And, you know, my first experience with Jeff Gordon was watching him on Thursday Thunder, figuring out whether a kid in Florida like me at the time going to Hialeah Speedway, the home track of Davey Allison back before he moved up to Alabama, you know, whether I'd ever make it up into the racing world, whether it was Indianapolis or Charlotte or wherever the world would take me. And, you know, watching him, I kind of grew up with it. And a lot of our employees, you know, we're just fans of what we do and have a blessing to be able to be in it and do it. But we also turn that responsibility around to make ourselves better, for the experience to make the fans have even more fun. And, you know, if we can dream it, we try it. And we try to have fun doing it so that everybody that comes to Charlotte Motor Speedway, whether it's for the drags at Z-Max, the dirt track, or, of course, the Bank of America 500, you know, they leave there thinking, wow, I had a blast. That was good. Maybe I'll come back. I will come back.
Yeah, and Lenny, if I can I sort of change the subject a little bit here? NASCAR, you know, implemented the low downforce package this time. Steve, you can correct me if I mess up. Please do. I think it was Kansas, you know, wherever they did it. They're trying to make the mile and a half more competitive. As far as Charlotte, Atlanta, Texas, all three sister tracks, Do you think NASCAR will implement that to sort of help the racing better, and do you think that they need to low down for a second?
Well, I think from what I've heard that NASCAR's not changing the rules in the chase. And then over the winter, you know, everything is always up in the air over the winter. So I think for us, we're on the outside looking in as well. We know that at least they're coming with a standard package to that the teams will be able to perfect a little bit more before they get to us, that we feel with the chase being on the line and the first of the contender rounds, that's the round that the Bank of America 500 at Charlotte is in, that race is going to be really an awesome competitive race because the teams aren't experimenting with some of these new packages, that they can sit there and perfect the packages that they have. And then next year, you know, it's always fun. It's always neat to see what NASCAR does. Sometimes we just scratch our heads. Sometimes we think, wow, they got it right. Why change it next time? But for some reason, it's the magic formula that we've all grown to love. And I don't try to outpredict NASCAR. They seem to be doing a good job without me trying to figure out their rules packages. I just go, wow, I'll never be able to drive at 200 miles an hour, but it sure looks cool with guys doing it.
Exactly, Lenny. And, you know, I listen to a lot of Sirius XM radio, and Stephen does also. I mean, there's so many people that want to do this, say that, do this, but I definitely agree with what you said. NASCAR is doing a great job. Stephen, you have any comment on that low downforce package, bud?
Yeah, you know, NASCAR did test that right there at Darlington, where they're going to bring it back again this weekend for the Southern 500. But the first race that they brought it to was one of SMI's sister tracks right there at Kentucky. And I have to say, it was probably one of the best races that we've seen all year long. We had more passing for not only the lead, but mid-pack racing was probably 3-4 wide all throughout the entire event. And I think the NASCAR fans exactly agree with what NASCAR brought to that event. And it made for a very, very good race out there at Kentucky where, you know, NASCAR fans left there feeling like they saw an enjoyable race at a mile and a half racetrack. And Lenny, don't shoot me for being the messenger, but you know, I think you would probably agree that NASCAR fans over the last couple of years have probably seen with these packages at mile and a half racetracks that the racing for lead and mid packs have been very much, you know, conveyor belt racing, and they wanted to see a change. And what they saw at Kentucky was a much, much different an event. And with
now,
the slower downforce
right.
package.
No, I think
yeah.
you're right, Stephen, and that's why I applaud NASCAR. They didn't just sit there and, you know, let this thing get off the rails to where it couldn't come back on. The only thing I would think of that, you know, NASCAR will probably look at is the difference between Kentucky's banking and the other mile and a half and the configurations. It's kind of like the pharmacist with a prescription. You weigh this much, and we got to give you this much of medicine, and the other person weighs this much, we got to give you the same type medicine, but just a little different dose of it. And that may be something that over the winter, those guys that are, you know, all the engineering degrees and all the smarts that they've had from the experience will sit down and figure out how to doctor this thing up and, for the most part, come up with a potion that maybe can replicate closer to the fun things that we saw at Kentucky at, you know, more and more tracks, and hopefully back to a schedule where, more so than not, we have that kind of, you know, just bare knuckles, hang on, go get them type racing. And, you know, for us at Charlotte, we think that the teams coming to the Bank of America 500 in October are at least going to have a fighting chance to make this thing close and tight because they've had the time to work on the existing package, and they've got a lot of incentive to push, push, push to make this thing as hard and as fast as they can, okay, this year. And, you know, look forward to whatever comes for us for the Coca-Cola 600 in May next year and back around again in October of the year, you know, later on.
Yeah, I really am impressed with this new downforce package that NASCAR has put together out there. And you have to give them everything for listening to the fans, because this is what they've asked for over the last couple of years. They have said that at some of the mile and a half tracks that it's gotten way too strung out, where we are not only counting the cars, the interval between the cars, not by the cars, but by seconds, and it needs to be it needs to be much, much closer than the racing the way that it should be. And you've got to applaud them for exactly what they've done at Kentucky, and I have to say that was a very enjoyable race. And by engaging social media and engaging everything else around the race, I think NASCAR hit the nail right on the head with exactly what they need to do going into 2016.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing that we all like is to watch a good race. But then, you know, from a tracks perspective, we try to bring even more to the experience when people honor us enough to make the trip to come over to us. And that's why, you know, some of the things that fans don't get to see on TV, whether the race would ever get strung out or not, we try before at Charlotte Motor Speedway, before the green flag even falls, to give the fans an experience and a memory that is unique and exciting and powerful for them to be able to say, you know what, my guy maybe didn't win or lose, or gal, if they're a Danica fan, but I had a great time going to Charlotte, and I'll come back, and maybe that rules package the next time will help my person, you know, move up to the spot I hope they be in.
And, Lenny, this
yeah,
is Stephen. I'm sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
No, I was just going to go off of what Lenny was saying. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a thing that the tracks definitely are looking more and more into. As we're getting into this social media age where the attention span is getting shorter and shorter, where a lot, you know, I know that we read social media all the time where people are saying that the races are much too long. We can't watch a 3.5-hour race anymore, and tracks are having to find other ways to complement the racing experience with other things. And Charlotte has been one of those where I've been there and I've watched the Willendas, you know, go and do some of the things. And I think it was, you've done the, what is it, during the Coke 600, you've done the, what you've had the National Guard come out there and do demonstrations and some of the other really neat things that you guys have got going on out there. So, you know, it's those things that as a track operator and a promoter, are really neat for the fans to be able to come in and be able to see those things.
You try to make it an experience. You know, it's hard to earn the money to make the trip and to go to any of these places, even if it's just a Saturday night short track like the Talladega short track. So when fans go to a place like Charlotte Motor Speedway, we're fortunate enough to have a facility and employees and the events themselves that can give us the opportunity to give them even more bang when they come there. You know, the high flying and the things that happen. And that, you mentioned one of the really neat things that from an outside and now an inside perspective just wells me up every time. The Memorial Day celebration and honoring of our military that happens at Charlotte Motor Speedway, that is an event that I know wells people up on TV, but you have to be there when those Chinooks come over and our boys put on that show and they climb down those ropes and then we do taps and all that. It's breathtaking. And it's an experience that needs to be on everybody's bucket list to come and pay honor to the military as a part of this, because the red, white, and blue matters above all else, and that's even the green or the checker.
And, Lynn, this is Tim here. On October 10th, you know, you're going to have your race in the Chase for Sprint Cup, the Bank America 500 Charlotte Motor Speedway at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. PRN will have the radio, which will be you and Sirius XM also. And NBC is going to have the TV. I've heard a lot of chatter. I mean, you know, Fox Sports covers probably the first half, and then, you know, now NBCSN. I've heard a lot of chatter around social media and everywhere else. A lot of fans are wanting the race on NBC. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out in the rural, a lot of older people don't want to get in trouble for saying that would like to watch a race on just regular TV NBC. What's your take on that, man?
You know, NASCAR and the networks are trying to figure out ways to be able to have our events to the biggest, broadest audience. And sometimes that's not feasible on broadcast TV. If we only depended on one channel, and I don't mean television channel, I mean one pipeline, let's say, of how we get our events to the fans, that may become a pipeline that has other priorities over us from time to time. And working within that bigger schedule is far beyond what I know, how I know, or what I can do. But it does seem that NASCAR over the last decade or so, you remember TNN was the first, you know, network beyond ESPN that anybody watched. And I used to love seeing Steve Evans and Brock Yates and all those guys back then. And I remember even back then, you know, people didn't have TNN. But it seems to have been able to grow us in different directions. And, yeah, maybe some of us can't see every race now. But there is always TRN. And you can listen to PRN straight through your computer. You don't even have to have a radio. You can do it on your cell phone. You don't even have to have a radio or a computer. Your cell phone will do it. And I think these radio networks, you know, we all love to listen to radio. And every now and then, it's not so bad to not sit there right smack dab in front of the television. Get out and be out there with your friends and family. Have the radio on in the background. You know, when those announcers get a little bit excited, to just kind of perk up. And, you know, the rest of the season, we get to enjoy racing on channels that we all can get. I don't have a better answer than that. I wish, you know, everything could be the way everybody wants it. But I think NASCAR seems to, again, have a decent mix that frustrates us all in a little way, but it always gives us all more than we could ever do on our own. And I guess they're doing it as best they can, and they're human like us. So I gotta cheer them on, and you know, just hope that enough folks are excited about it to come see us at Charlotte Motor Speedway when they can. But you know what? When they're watching our races, there's no TV networking between them and us. Only the track right in front of them to watch every lap. So if they're frustrated about not being able to see something on TV, scoot on over and see us, or get out and support a track closer by wherever the fans are listening. And those Friday, Saturday, Sunday short tracks are always a great place to go and enjoy between the big races that fans can see, because those short trackers, they need the help too. And that $8 or $9 or $10 on a Friday night, you know, that matters to that short track promoter as well. And we appreciate what those short track guys do too. And they're never on TV. They're working hard in silence.
Exactly, Lenny. Yeah, but you know, you got all this other stuff going on and all that. But you touched on a very good point about listening to the radio. And my wife Suzanne, she gets on to me all the time, and I always tell Stephen this: whether it's on PRN or MRN, I've got either my computer on and I'm listening to it, and I'm watching it on TV. But there's just something about radio. I love listening to it on the radio. PRN, you. Albright, everybody does a great job there. Gilly, and you know, going to give kudos to my good friend Woody Kane, posting all them. I mean, it's just, it's something about listening to the radio. Am I right, Lenny? I mean, it just, you, with you being a radio broadcaster there, broadcasting the race, you have to, just like Stephen brought up, we had Woody Kane on a couple weeks ago, you have to paint the picture for the fans on the radio, because you're not seeing it on TV.
No, and what I always try to do is paint that picture for my friends that I hope are tuned in, if I'm one of the broadcasters, and also educate maybe some of my in-laws from Minnesota that still ask me, you know, about racing and, you know, why the tires don't have tread on them and things like that. So a little bit of sharing some of the knowledge that we have and making folks know more about our sport, and then building that visual through the words that we say is, you know, the one of the great ways from back in the days when everybody was listening to AM radio, and our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents listening to, you know, all the things that they did on up to today. Doug Rice, Mark Garrow, and our friends over at MRN as well. It's an honor to be able to tell the tale of these fantastic races and, you know, the speeds that these drivers and crews are able to put cars out onto these racetracks and go around it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, Lynn. And I know your time is limited, but I had one of my friends, he was on here and he dropped, the caller dropped. His home track is Watkins Glen, upstate New York. I don't know if it's just him calling back in. Stephen, you want to you want to take over there? Do you have any thoughts on what Lenny and I were talking about?
No, but I did have one question for him. Charlotte Motor Speedway did announce that you guys are grading the track down out there on the front stretch, about 6 feet out there. You guys trying to get a little extra passing out there on the front stretch, considering those cars dip down a little bit lower on there, create a little bit more passing out there? Just want to get your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, it was easier to knock down a little bit of the dirt mound that had gotten built up than to knock down the wall and try to widen the track the other way. Carl Edwards really brought it to everybody's attention a couple of years ago, and, it's been a growing thing as these splitters and such get lower and lower. These cars need a little bit more, gray area to play with. So it's one of those things where, just like in the yard that we all have at our house, in fact, I'm sitting here on my back deck looking at almost the same thing in my yard, thinking, how am I going to knock that little bit of dirt down to make the yard look back like I wanted it to? And, over the years, that mound had gotten to be, a little bit more than what, even we would have wanted. So when it was brought up, I guess it was, not a big thing. And maybe that'll help racing be a little bit more, crazy, so to speak, if it needs to be, and exciting, whether it needs to be or not, and give these drivers every bit of opportunity to win the Bank of America 500, that they can. So a little bit of knocking dirt down was no problem and easy to do. And, hopefully somebody will make this decade's version of the pass in the grass now and look cool doing it while they're on their way to victory at the Bank of America 500.
You guys trying to create another one hot night out there at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the 2015 era out there. I think that's a really neat thing to do. But you're right, those splitters will wreak a little bit of havoc on some of those race cars out there, and you guys have to go out there and plant a little bit of grass when they decide to mow everything over.
That's okay, though. It's some of that stuff we look at, and they do the burnouts across our signs and, push into the walls and stuff, and our grounds crew just looks and shrugs and goes, you know what, that's what we all are here for. A little bit more pain, a little bit more grass seed, things like that, it's all right. As long as, we put a smile on a young race fan's face, or an old race fan, or an any age race fan's face, let the race drivers, do what they do to make us all love what it is that we get to see when they do it. So, glad to knock down the mound. But you know what, guys? I've got a request from you, and really for the people listening to us. This jeffslastride.com. We need to see the photos that nobody's seen of you, of your Jeff Gordon experience. Whether you're a Jeff Gordon hardcore fan or just somebody that ran into a show car at a Kroger or wherever and took a picture, please post those on your Facebook. Send them to us. Let us know. Let us build this thing up and show the world the tribute to Jeff Gordon that only we as a big NASCAR community can do. Just hashtag Jeff's Last Ride. Put it on your Facebook. Check us out at jeffslastride.com. And let's have some fun with this and give this guy a really neat present that can be up there on the world for the world to see you, your family, and everything. And there's a lot of cool tributes. Make one on your cell phone and send it in.
Okay. Stephen, Lenny, I know your time is limited, but the phone line's lit up again. But this is my good friend, Todd Bigsby. If you can you take a question, bud?
Sure.
Okay, this is my good friend, Todd Bigsby. He dropped a while ago. He called back in. Todd's home track is upstate New York. Let's welcome Todd in the pit stop, Tim Spaney and Lenny Batiki.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Todd, how you doing tonight, bud? How's everything up there at Watkins Glen?
It's been sunny and really warm, so it's been good, and they're process of repaving the track as we speak.
Yeah, I had, seen you talking about that, but We've got Lenny Baticki, communications manager there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. You have a question for Lenny?
Lenny, first off,
yes, sir.
I want to thank you for everything that you guys do for the fans, for the experience that you guys do.
Well, thank you. Without, you know, the fans, none of this, you know, happens for any of us, and we're just we're fans like everybody else and tickled to be able to try to have some fun for everybody and make it more exciting every time they come to Charlotte. What you got going up there in the Glen? How's turning left and right going for you guys up there?
A great, exciting year. As you know, they're repaving the track. So opening weekend, I drive my vehicle around the track for 3 laps. So I'm looking forward to driving like a NASCAR person on the track.
Awesome. Hey, man, you ought to come down. We're in the process of a 2-year rebuild of the Charlotte road course here that runs kind of in our infield. We have the first half done, so kind of between 1 and 2, if you look through the TV, maybe on some of the day shots when it's brighter in there, you'll see that new road course. And then next year, we'll work on the spots between 3 and 4 and, you know, kind of have a little bit more road course opportunities for folks to come test and, you know, some of these SCCAs and different, you know, racing series to come and, you know, have the times like they did back in the 80s when we used to have a little bit more aggressive road course schedule and give fans of the left and right a chance to come play at Charlotte Motor Speedway again on a brand new racetrack, you know, within what we do.
I'll definitely be putting that on my bucket list.
Awesome.
Now, my question for you is, I know Charlotte, they sell tons and tons and tons of tickets. Now, at a track, when you're getting closer to race time, and if you don't sell out, is there anything that you do to try to push to kind of move the sales to try to fill the stadium?
There was a time when people tried that. I think more so now, we work harder every day of the year to try to earn the fans' trust to come see us at Charlotte for an event. It's things that we do starting as early as the day after any event over to be able to figure out, how did we miss it? How did we get 85% of a crowd for this event when we were hoping for 92? And how do we get that number up and then eventually get them to being sold out? And sometimes you just have to know, you know, this thing is about as good as we could have done this time, and we don't need to, you know, just flood them just to flood them. I think, you know, that was a technique in the past that maybe didn't work quite as well. You know, we still do radio promos, and we still do things like that, but it's planned out ahead, and we push and we'll work to make sure they're successful and find the ingredients that do so. And, you know, the results are what the results are. At some point, you can't just throw in the towel and open the gates up and let folks come. That wouldn't be what they do at the Glen or at Chemung or any of the tracks up there. You know, those that wanted to come that saw a value in it, we try to honor that. And I think that's become a trend that's going back in the right direction.
I do follow Charlotte's Facebook page, so I do get to see a lot of the stuff, so I do keep up with you guys, even though I'm way up here in New York, so just so you know, I do like keeping up.
Well, we appreciate it, but you ain't that far. You're, you know, I would say probably 2.5-3 tanks of gas, and you could scoot down here and make it in time to have some Bojangles chicken with us sitting on the front stretch for one of our night races.
Yeah, I definitely would love it.
Well, you come see us sometime, and even if we're not racing, there's tours, there's shops to see. We got a stuff all around us that we'll keep you busy for as long as you can be in the Charlotte area. We'll find something about racing to entertain you with, from the Hall of Fame to the race shops to the drag strip, the dirt track, and you know we'll keep digging until you've said enough. You got to go back.
All right. Well, I really appreciate that. I appreciate you taking time and talking with me.
No. Thank you for what you do, and all the folks up there in Glenn. And I don't know whether you heard us, but we'd love to have your Jeff Gordon memory on our jeffslastride.com, even if it's just a old Baby Ruth card with you holding it up saying, you know, thumbs up to Jeff. And if you could please hashtag that on your Facebook, we'd love to have your picture on our jeffslastride.com website as part of this great tribute to that champion.
Well, the one I can put up is I got to be next to his holler when it was getting a bath at the Glen this year, so I most certainly can get that picture put up, and that's a good thing.
That'd be awesome. Just hashtag Jeff's Last Ride, and we'll be looking forward to get up on the site. Our people will find it on your Facebook and draw it over that way. Guys, it's been great. Anytime you need me, please call. Love to be on more. I could talk racing forever, but I'm getting the look from the wife that it's time to come in. So I got to play husband now. But y'all keep doing what you're doing because you're building fans every time that you power up. We appreciate it.
We thank you very much, Lenny. And Lenny, if you can, I know you got to go, but can you? You've got Stephen's email address. We're putting up MP3 commercials on our show. Can you send some of Charlotte stuff that we can play at the beginning of our show to Stephen, and we can put it on our in our studio?
I'll get with the technical people that can do that, because beyond posting on Facebook or Twitter, my talents aren't that much. But I know folks that can make electronic things happen better than I can, and I'll get those young folks to scoot you over some. Appreciate what you guys do, and like I said, you know, every time you fire up, you build race fans and keep fans excited about the sport at large. So thank you for helping us all have this business to be able to entertain the fans with at Charlotte Motor Speedway, Talladega Short Track, or wherever else they choose to get to. Thank you, guys, and I've had a great time. Please have me back on whenever you can allow me.
Okay, we'll get you back on, Lenny. Thank you again for doing everything for the sport. You go take care of the wife before you get in trouble, bud.
That's right. Happy wife, happy life. Talk to you later now.
That's right. Talk to you later, bud. Okay, that was Lenny Paticki. He had to go to wife to give him the look. Stephen, we've got Todd here. I haven't heard from Tony. Any last thoughts, Stephen? Well, we were gonna talk about the upcoming Bojangles stuff, but you got anything, or you want to call it quits, bud? It's up to you. Well, we can talk about while we're on air. You and I are going to do a live show from Darlington Raceway next Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern.
Yeah, we're going to do a special show out there. Got the whole crew from BK Racing that's going to come on and get us ready for the Bojangles Southern 500 later on that night. It's going to be a packed show along with Tom Marquise from Yahoo Sports Radio. So it's going to be huge. Can't wait to get to Darlington. Labor Day weekend, first time in 12 years that they've run back there. Xfinity Series race going to take the green flag a little after 3:30 Eastern time on Saturday. And the Southern 500 returns to the track Too Tough to Tame just a little after 7:20 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night. So it's going to be a good, good weekend for all of the NASCAR fans that they haven't gotten their tickets out there. Probably need to go out there at DarlingtonRaceway.com and get themselves some tickets for the return of the Southern 500.
Yeah, sounds good. We're going to have a big show that Sunday morning before we all head to the before we all get going racing and everything. And, you know, like you said, Stephen, we got the whole BK Racing crew. Talked to Ron Devine the other day. Ron's going to be on. Jill Burton, Matt DiBenedetto, J.J. Galey. I mean, it's going to be a really great show. So y'all can tune in. We'll be posting the link to the show, and we'll get everything lined up. And, Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud, and your website, SpeedwayDigest.com. You got the floor, bud.
Hey, you can follow us at SpeedwayDigest.com, on Twitter at SpeedwayDigest, Facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest. And, yeah, I think we got everything covered for tonight and ready to go racing in Darlington.
Yeah, I guess we're. Oh, one last thing, Stephen. I was going to. Hold on. Let me find my paper. Schedule of events. I forgot about that. Saturday, Big Sandy Series, VFW Sport Clips, HEPA Hero 200, 3:30 p.m. MRN has your radio, NBC has your TV. And then Sunday, Sprint Cup Series, Bojangles Southern 500, like you said, first time back, Labor Day weekend in a while, 12, 13 years, whatever you said, 7 p.m. Eastern. MRN has your radio, NBC has your TV. And Stephen, tell AM and the kids we said hello, and we'll be driving up Friday, and we'll see y'all Saturday morning, bud.
All right, bud, we'll see you on Saturday.
All right, 10-4. Safe travels, bud.
All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right, see you, Stephen. Okay, Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. My co-host, I'm Tim Despain, the host, live from Talladega, Alabama. We're going to sign off with a song. We will catch y'all Sunday morning on a very special edition show from Dodge and Raceway, The Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Better than to wear that dress, it oughtn't be.